Okay, Ron, thank you so much. Thank you for the prayer, and thank you for all that you do to get things ready for us to go. And we'll get back in where we left off last week, or we'll go back a little bit beyond that again, like kind of like you do sometimes in your studies, to catch back up from where we were. But we're going to start again tonight and try to finish up the 13th chapter of Acts, according to when we started this, we named it, this was who was associated with Paul after his conversion under Christ on the Damascus Road. And we started it in Acts 9 and went here and yonder. So here we are in Acts 13. But we realize that the Apostle Paul was kind of like, I was talking to a friend down in Georgia today, and I said, this deal with the Apostle Paul and Barnabas and those that went with Paul on these trips and things, and it was kind of like when Elvis was here, and Elvis was going from place to place and doing things. He's living in Memphis, Tennessee, and all this. And I said, there's people followed him everywhere he went. Then, regardless of where he went, if they saw him, and they try to kind of follow him around, whether they were supposed to or not. And I said, that's kind of the way it was with Elvis. He wasn't going to get a guitar, sit down at a piano somewhere and do anything with him. It was only after he had his band with him he could do what it was he done. And I said, well, this entourage that Paul and Barnabas and them would gather up, they changed from place to place when they went from place to place. And I said, that they were gonna teach basically the same thing, or if you would, play the same song that they had played before in order to get these people up to speed as to what they should do. And so I explained to her, I said, well, you have to go back and look at what they had in that area of that time that they had. And I explained that, well, AD 85 was supposed to be the breaking point, or because of what was written in the book of Daniel. And I said that, you know, that didn't take place in AD 85. So I said, we're still living in a place where there's lots of folks that's just not God's people. And that was the low AMI thing. But I said, but God was putting people in that situation everywhere they went, because he went to the Jew first, and then they were proselytes there that would come out of the Jewish synagogue, and they would talk to Paul and them, and everybody get involved in that, and they say, well, we want to hear this. And so that's the way that stuff came off. And so we're going to talk about the rest of the story that way. Well, Paul Harvest, the way he used to do his things on radio and television. And so here we are. We're going to go back and pick up with verse 37 in the 13th chapter of the book of Acts. And it said, but he, and this is Jesus we're talking about, whom God raised again, saw no corruption, because they had been promised the sure promise of David. Well, when they got rid of Saul as their king, David was installed as their king. And so God went back to the family of Jesse and picked the baby boy out of all them boys that Jesse had to be the next king. Well, he's the one that slew Goliath, too, under the auspices of all this. So, it wasn't David here that it was talking about, but they was talking about Christ as he came and gave his life on the cross, and the people asked for Barabbas, the guy that was in jail already for probably murder or whatever it was he had been charged with. And so they crucified Christ. But when they put him in the ground, 3 days later he came out of the ground and he had no corruption. So this was where we, pretty much where we wound up. And it said in verse 38, "Be it known or understood unto you therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, full stop." So, be it known, gnostos in the Greek, known, gnostos, unto you therefore. And I used to say when we first started these studies that we need to know what therefore was put there for. And it's put there for a pause, or to stop, look, and listen like you'd stop at a railroad track. That was my understanding of this. Because if you just had a wagon and a mule or a horse or something and they barreled across there, you might not make it across before you got hit. So the deal was to stop, look, and listen, and then go on. And so this is the stop, look, and listen, the therefore. And it said, "And brethren, that through this man," and this man again is he, in verse 37, and it was Jesus, because he came for his own. And in the book of Luke, it says, "And this one that's come, his name will be Jesus." And that all heads will bow, all knees will bow, and all tongues will name the name of Jesus as being their Messiah. So this man, it says, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. So forgiveness there is remissions, if you will, of sins, and that's aphidesis is the word for remissions in the Greek. I probably didn't pronounce that right, but that's as close as I could get to it there. So it was forgiveness of sins. So how is he going to forgive them sins? So that's what we need there. What we need therefore, is to think on this a little while. How could, if he wasn't part of the Godhead, then how was he going to produce forgiveness of sins? Well, he did it because it was foretold that that's what they'd do to him, and he said if he promised the Father, he would do it. And so he did it. And they did it in ignorance. And so much as I can understand, because they never did really believe, these prophets that God was sending to them anyway. They always wound up killing them because they didn't like what they were saying. And then we get to verse 39, and it said, "And by him all that believe are justified from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses." So that's pretty clear. That's not a real bad one. Talking about, and after the trade, after the word, therefore, by him, all that believed are justified. And justified is there because it was as if they had never done it. From all things of which you could not be justified by the law that had been given to Moses. Because everybody says it was the law of Moses, but Moses was speaking by God's permission that this is how it is. And so it turned out to be the law of Moses. So you need to look at these little words named "of" too when you look at Scripture, because if you would go back and you'd look at that, and it would say by the law given by God unto Moses. And that leaves the "of" out. But see, in the genetic case there, that's the way the "of" is. There's 14 different names that you could change around and make it work out. And it doesn't lose anything in the translation in that situation there. So, to be justified, and it says, beware in 40, or see to, therefore. See to this, beware. Stop and think about the word beware. It's something you need to really give some thought to. You might not want to get involved in it when you're talking about beware. It says, lest that come upon you which is spoken of in the prophets. And that "of" there could be spoken by the prophets under the auspices of God's will. So you can change these little "of"s, and it doesn't really change a lot there. And then 41 is the next verse, and it is a quote from, and I can't ever get this right, but I say Habakkuk, but I don't know if that's the way that it's pronounced or not. Habakkuk 1, verse chapter, verse 5. And I'll just read the way it is in the King James. It says, "Behold, ye despisers and wonders, and perish. For I work a work in your day, a work which ye shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you." Now, let's break that down a little bit. Behold there basically means generally speaking, to gaze upon. Or to put it in another way of saying it is to watch for anything. And to expect and thus look for and wait for something that's not yet. Because when this was written in Habakkuk, they didn't understand it. They didn't know the time that it might be there. And so it's another one of these not yet things that you find in Scripture. Because it's not time for this to be fully understood here, that this verse of Scripture and that we're reading here now that's been quoted, because it's already there somewhere. And they may have already heard it in the synagogue. So, not yet. He said, "Ye despisers and wonder and perish." Full stop. And that may perish there means to vanish away. To not be again alive or in something that made a difference. And generally speaking, he was talking about a work which you shall in no wise believe. And that great word I can pronounce. It is umi. And if you're in this kind of a position here, not ought to grab yourself and say umi and change your way of doing things. Okay. Now that's as simple as that is an Old Country South Carolina boy can make it. And God made it that way. Even in the Greek, he made that way. Okay. You shall in no wise, umi, believe, even though, and I put the even there, even though one man, a man or one, would declare it unto you, and that is ek dagiomea, ek dagiomea, and that is a medical word that's used by a doctor, and this is beyond my expertise. So if a doctor comes to you and say, "Buddy, you got something I can't help you with."
Don't really want to hear that.
No, you don't want to hear that. A lot of people hear that with the word cancer.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people have heard that with the word leprosy back in the day. A lot of people heard that with COVID in this day.
No.
And so when these Greek words are used, that's Luke showing that he wrote the book of Acts. Because it's a medical term, and it's not the only medical term in the book of Acts. But what would you expect the doctor to say if it wasn't a medical term? Ekdagiomea. A medical word that would be said by a doctor, it's beyond my expertise. I can't help you. So this is what was being said. A work in your day, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. This is what's happening here. Okay, let's go to 42. We don't want to get beyond our expertise and not be able to finish this. And it says, "And when the Jews were gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath." Well, how did they know what was preached? Not yet. Because guess what? The next verse of Scripture tells you who was there and how all this came about. So you can't get it in one verse a lot of times. One time you can't get it in one place in Scripture. So I'm going to have to read 43 to explain 42. And we do it all the time. We just sometimes don't bring it out that way. Okay. So let's go to 43. It says, now, when the congregation, we'll talk about that a little bit, was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. So, the Gentiles were in that group, too. They heard it. The Gentiles heard it. And so, that was how that verse 42 is, needs a little explanation. And go back to 42. And when the Jews were gone, they were gone out of the synagogue. Gone out of the synagogue, the Gentiles besought that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. So they kind of all got together outside. They had their chimney corner meeting. That's what they used to call us when Brother Larry came to Wolfstake. And some of us would get together. And some of them would hear a little bit of it. And that's the reason they finally asked me to leave.
Yep.
Said, y'all are having a chimney.
How dare you study the Bible by yourself?
Yeah, y'all would have chimney corner meetings.
Yeah.
I said, well, what's wrong with that? You know, if you wanted to stop and get involved in the crowd, you could have done it. You went on to your vehicles, you know, and shut the door and went on home to get dinner.
Mm-hmm.
You wasn't interested in what we was doing. Not until it got to where you didn't believe it.
Not unless they could talk about it.
Or, you know, we'd call
like
you,
gossip about
or call
it,
you
yeah.
into question about
right.
it. Okay. So that's the way they found out about it. And the Gentiles besought these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. They wanted to hear it too. Well, this Jesus had come unto his own. But when he come down off the cross, it was a different story. He had paid the price for all people, not just the Jews. But they had to believe it. So, now when the congregation was broken up, the Jews and the religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. They had heard the words of God through Paul and Barnabas in the synagogue, and when they come out, and they were talking to them about it, and the Gentiles were standing around, and they heard that, and they said, man, we want to hear this. This is brand new stuff. 44, verse 44. And it said, and the next Sabbath day came. That not necessarily mean it was the next week. It might have been because they had several different days they called Sabbath days. And the name is not the same, but I didn't go back to look it up to see what the difference was in it. I should have done that. And I'll just tell you right now, I failed to do that. But the next Sabbath day came almost the whole city together to hear the word of God. Oh, boy. Sometimes, you know, this is verse 44. We've got a in this day and age, if that happened around here somewhere, they'd say, oh, the revival broke out at your place, didn't it?
Yeah.
I'm not sure they knew what a revival would mean.
Yeah.
But I'm saying it now because I growed up through that area, through that era. And so, almost, it seemed like that would have been the greatest thing in the world. Give everybody an opportunity to know the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
It said, but when the Jews saw the multitude, verse 45, guess what? When the Jews saw the multitude, they were filled with envy and spoke against those things which were spoken by Paul in contradicting and blaspheming. So they turned it around because of envy and jealousy. And they didn't want anybody else to have the same thing that they were hearing. And that's the way some of the Jews acted all the way down there through their life. They had opposition everywhere God was mentioned. There was opposition to it by those that it was to be sent to. And they wasn't doing their job, and they didn't want nobody else to come in and claim part of it either. So, 45, let me see, it says, the Jews saw multitudes of people, and these multitudes filled, and it filled them, it filled the Jews with envy. So much so that they spoke against Paul and Barnabas, and they just threw away the word of God because of their envy. And that word that God put in Genesis 1 between Satan and the woman, it was hatred. That envy and jealousy became hatred between Satan, which was against God, and God's word, which was against Satan. And there was envy there. And it's been there ever since.
Enmity.
But the enmity between. And it pitied God that he had done, that he had to do that. But what else could he have done? But there's one letter difference in the English between pity and piety. It's not P-I-T-Y, it's P-I-E-T-Y. Piety. And that means that there needs to be somebody in the room that's grown up. It's like you're going into a classroom. And there are kids running everywhere, throwing spitballs and doing all the things that they do. And the teacher makes them quiet down because she or he is the grown-up in the room, and he or she is going to take charge. And so Paul and Barnabas was the grown-ups in this crowd. And so they did what they could to take charge.
Isn't it interesting that thing messed them up was the number of people that showed up to actually hear Paul. And these Jews got looking around, and they kind of kicked them off.
Yeah.
All these come out and listen. They don't ever do that for us.
Yeah.
You know, they don't come listen to us like
that. Well, they've got the curtain up. They've got the wall up between them.
I just think it's interesting that that's what pushed them over the edge, is like the jealousy of the number of people that come out to hear Paul.
That's it.
And that's what locked them up.
That's it.
Filled with envy, it says.
Yeah. 46. It says, then Paul and Barnabas wax bold. They become the grown-ups in the crowd. And said, It was necessary. It was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you full stop.
Very important verse.
This was the established way that God had given to Abraham and to his seed, had been given a gift that was called the sure mercies of David, because he had made promises way back that it was going to come through David's line that the Messiah would come back to them, or would come to them, and not specifically to everybody, because it would be the seed of David, which was Mary, the mother of Jesus. Okay? It was necessary that the Word of God should first have been spoken to you, full stop. That's a therefore. Oh, stop, look, and listen. Take that in for a little bit. And then it says, but seeing you put it from you and judged yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, because that was what was being taught. Lo, we turn to the Gentiles. It's just like it was in Acts 28:28. It was coming down the road. They just couldn't see it. They just couldn't believe it. They'd never heard, I guess, or never understood that it was going to be this way by what they done.
Or didn't they?
Or didn't.
They wasn't bearing fruit.
No. And they weren't listening to the ones that were trying to bear fruit.
Yeah. As a nation.
Yeah. So, let's go on. That's pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah, that is a very important verse to me in Acts.
Yeah.
Because it proves the way that they went about grafting in. It had to be to the Jew first, and then the message went to the Gentile.
Okay, 47 kind of explains 46.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the reason I kind of wanted to go on. It said, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying. So they were under the command of the Lord, saying. And this is 47, let's see. It is from Isaiah 49, verse 6. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles. So this was their saying. They quoted Isaiah. I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation, for how long? Unto the ends of the earth.
Isn't it amazing that God revealed to Isaiah all those centuries before that?
That this was going to take
that
place.
That the grafting in was going to happen.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
This was the sure mercies, or the vow, that God gave to David's family, as being the sure mercies of David. You could count on it. If God said it, you could count on it.
Yep.
Let's go to 48. And it said, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed. So this made me think of the word revival when I read this. I brought it up before that a little bit, but here again, when the Gentiles, they believed what God's people would not believe. It hadn't made a focus in their mind and brain and eyes and ears and all that what they had done was to fulfill God's word. They couldn't believe that. So they didn't want to be counted as as being part of the rebellion. But nevertheless, everywhere they went, they were. And it wasn't the same, exactly the same people either. They were going to different places. But when the Gentiles heard this, 48, they believed. They were glad and glorified the word of the Lord, full stop. They stopped and looked and listened and heard and believed. They got to the road where they was a stop there, and it told them to take heed to what's going on. They did that.
And a limb got broken off, and another limb got grafted in right in his place.
Yeah. And as many as were ordained to eternal life. What is the ordination to eternal life? That is to get before God and promise Him that whatever it is you want me to do, I am going to do it to the best of my ability, and I ask right now for your help to help me get there. As long as I live, I'm not going to retire on you. I think that's what an ordination is. And I can't see these people says, okay, I've preached for 30 years. I think I'll just retire. Well, it's not like walking out of a car or another place somewhere that you have worked. That once you leave and are gone a few years, it'll be different when you go back in there because, you know, they're always trying to perfect their trade. If I went back in and walked back into U.S. Engine Valve over there after I worked with them for 16 or 17 years, put everything they had on the floor over there and helped get it going and made it a whole lot better than they had it when it came from Japan, I would probably not really realize where I was at. That's the reason I haven't jumped back in my truck and went back over there. They would invite me back in, but I haven't been back in the plant. But I was ordained to the Japanese way of doing things, and when I asked the old man to come over there to be over all this to get it started up, I said, let's undo these crates and start putting these things on. Oh, no. I said, we got people coming to do this. I said, well, why did you hire me? And he looked at me right funny. I said, do you think I'm stupid? And if you know the Japanese, they don't like to say no. But he done everything but say no. I had him over a barrel at that point in time, and he never forgot it. And if I come to him with anything, he says, if you think it'll work, do it.
We'll do it.
Because I wasn't working by Prince either. So. 49. And the word of the Lord was published throughout all the region. Okay, I thought this word here, I wondered how they come about the word published in 49. And if you look at the word published there, it's literally to carry through or throughout the region. It's like rain that rained on a certain part of the world and it doused that part of the world with the word of God. Or the word of the Lord. So it rains on the just and the unjust. And I thought that was a pretty good analogy to make, that the ones that were in, and the ones that were out were there with the ability to get in. So it was published. It was known. It wasn't hidden under a bushel. It wasn't hidden under a rock. It wasn't hidden under somebody's building if they built. It was published. It became the word of the day, or the word for all to hear. Best, and about the best I could make of that. And it says in verse 50, you got two verses to go. And I'm running a little ahead of myself. It says this in verse 50, and so the Jews just wouldn't put it down. They never put it down, what Paul said. If they got it up and they got something in their mind and it was against what they understood or what they knew, they just didn't want to accept it. Even if the prophets had told them it was going to come, or God had spoke to the prophets and told the prophets to tell them that it was coming. And so the Jews still would not let it go. They stirred up the devout and honorable women and the chief men of the city and raised persecution. They wanted to persecute Paul and Barnabas. And after that, they wanted to expel them out of their coast. Which it didn't take much to get rid of them, because I think by that time, and this was kind of new to Paul and Barnabas, and they seen these people wanted, they seen the Gentiles that wanted to hear this and really believed it. And yet, they were being put down, put to shame, or whatever it took to get them to lose face and to get out of there and to get away. And I guess the women there, when they wouldn't let it go, it said they stirred or instigated up the devout and honorable women.
Interesting there, honorable is the word, eusemon. It means well formed or decorous, noble in rank or comely.
Yeah, they
the popular good looking ones, evidently.
They wore the adornments of the rich
of society.
Yeah. Right. So and the chief men of the city raised persecution against Paul and Barnabas. And it's all right. So much so that they said, you got to leave. Well, that's what they did to Christ. Many of the villages that Christ, that Jesus was going to go and preach to, they didn't want to hear. And what happened to them? And somebody had done a book on this, I can't remember who it was, but they said the villages and the places that Christ wanted to go and to speak to the people, that they didn't want to hear it. They wanted to expel him. They wanted to run him out. And it says, those cities today cannot even be found on the map. I believe that. I really believe. I didn't have no problem at all. And if somebody came up and said, well, this Jesus that forgave you your sins and that you hung on a cross and killed him, in 3 days he rose again. And he went back up the way he came down and went back up into glory. You can't believe that. And you don't want to hear that. Why would he want to waste his time there? Because he didn't see the 3 years is what he had to do, what he had to do. And I think he knew the Father's will on that 3 years.
It's interesting that the Jews always knew which avenue to take. The unbelieving ones. They always had an ace up their sleeve about getting help to get rid of Paul or wave the political wands and get him ditched or whatever.
To push the right button.
Yeah, they always, exactly. They knew what buttons to push to get it done.
To get everything in a corrupt state like they were. Because that's what it is. You can have a jug of milk in your refrigerator, and you can take the ice out of it and drink it, and it'd be some of the best milk you ever taste. But you had another jug over there, and you got mixed up. And you took a glass out of that, and you took a little, we're going to take a little sip of it, and it didn't smell good. Well, you're going to put it back in the jug, but you put it in the other jug. How long is it going to be that both of them are going to be spoiled? I mean, it's the fact that it's like the leaven in the bread. And when the Passover comes, and these people were going to go out and go across the Red Sea, they're going to walk on dry land. And they were all told not to take no leavened bread. Because before you got over there where you could eat it, it'd have worms anybody in. Well, that's kind of what we're talking about here. There are things here that can destroy the good things under certain circumstances. And this is one of them. And so, how is it that we could know the grace and the mercy of our loving God to a point to where we would put everything else aside and do that rather than go back and turn and walk as we walked before? So what's the deal with that? We look at what we had and we look at what we got. So what would you do? That's just plain and simple. That they never did know it anyway to begin with. They'd rather have the things of the world rather than to have the Word of God. And so this is kind of how I look at it. And this again is another old Southern boy looking at things that, I took care of my wife for a long time, and it's coming up on the day that we lost her 7 years ago. And one day I was in there, and my wife said, put me in the chair. So I picked her up with a lift and put her in the chair, and she said, I'm going to read the paper, and said, when you come back in, you can put me back to bed. I just left the lift open. And so she read the paper a little while, and then she got going around and around the bar, which she could go through the kitchen and come around to them, and then come around to the dining room, back into the kitchen again. She could go around and around. She couldn't drive worth a hoot. She couldn't even roll a wheelbarrow, to be honest with you. But the best person I was ever around. So she was went around that thing a few times, I don't know how many times, while I was out mowing the grass. Come back in, she said, put me in the bed. I'm tired. And I said, okay. So I just rolled the chair back in there just like I rolled it out. It was still open. I turned the button and I laid her down in the chair. And I moved the lift. And when I moved the lift, something went bling. I looked down and there was the pin that held all them four wheels together. And it rolled across my floor in the den. And then the chair started rolling a little bit because she was looking and moving around and caused the thing to start rolling. And I saw those wheels start giving. And so I grabbed a hold of her and hugged her up. And we rolled on out into the floor and them wheels went whichever way they wanted to go and put me and her in the floor. And it just dropped us in the floor. And then fell in on top of us. And I said, Lord, I need help. I need help now. Please. Lord, hear me. And about that time, my daughter said, what are y'all doing in the floor? She was already in the house. The prayer had already been answered. She was in the yard when all this took place, just after I came in. And one little bolt, a nut, would have kept all that from happening, but she lost her other foot because of that. So there ain't no words you can tell me. God does answer prayers, and sometimes He answers them before you ever ask Him.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that until the day I'm not here anymore. And you can be sure of that. Chapter 51 says, but they shook off the dust of their feet against them and came unto Iconium. And by this time, they were about 300 miles from where they had started. And the disciples were filled with joy and the Holy Ghost. Well, whenever they get to another place, now they have a story to tell as to where they've been and who they talked to and how great a number come and heard and listened and believed.
Yep.
I can't write that down in my notes, their names, because I don't know their names. But nevertheless, there were great numbers of people that come out to hear this, and it didn't stop there. It went on. And then it got to where everywhere they went, there were already people there in opposition to God's word. And so that's the way it worked. But they shook off the dust of their feet. And that word is EX. In the Greek, it was, in the English, ekten aso. is to shake the dust off. And this is another medical word. If a medical man would say, well, if you will do this, you can shake this thing off or get rid of it. That means to get rid of. And it's another medical term. We're getting close to the time when Luke says we. You know, if we get to the 16th chapter of Luke, but here you can see Luke already in all this stuff because it was given to him to write this. Even if Titus did help him, because there's other places in there that said Titus helped him.
Well, we know where he's getting his information.
I didn't have to point, but we know where both of them were getting their information.
Exactly.
And so, I didn't have any time left anyway. But in order to make all these things even plain to someone that might hear this tape, that there's nothing you can hide from God. You might think you can, but as the old saying goes, like my grandma used to say, to help raise me, it'll all come out in the wash. And if it don't come out in the wash, it'll come out in the rinse. And so when you can make it understandable to somebody that don't have much opportunity ever to hear the Word of God. See, when we moved back here and I was 7 years old, I'd never been to church. Never been in a church that I can remember. My dad was a minister's son, and my grandma was his mother, and I think my grandma was a better minister than my grandpa was. But that's beside the point. Guess what? God put me under the operation of them to get me to where I am now. And I thank God for it.
Amen.
It took me 33 years to figure it out, but now that's me and the old man fighting there. Because I've left my fingerprints, I guess, on a good many pews when the invitation was given, and more churches than one. But nevertheless, one day I heard it. I made a vow to God going down the road driving an old station wagon. It had been wrecked. That I got from my brother. It was the owner of a junkyard. But it was sideswiped. And he said, I'll let you have it if you'll fix it. Well, he let me have it. I didn't fix it, but I wore it out.
It did run, didn't it?
But, yeah. It would run, and it would get out of time. And I'd have to change two spark plug wires. And I figured out I could change two spark plug wires and hit the starter. And the timing chain was so wore out till it jumped back in time.
Only you can get by with that.
They ain't many people that can figure that out. So I am not the brightest bulb in the thing, but neither am I the dimmest. So thank you for being with me. And I love to tell it. And I love to tell it like it is. And so, Lord, I thank you for the opportunity. And I thank you for all these people, and I love them all. So God bless you this day.